in March.
At this time, I will call the Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting of January 19, 2022 to order. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Fowle?
Present.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Commissioner Mello?
Here.
Commissioner Lindler is absent today.
At this time, we are going to elect the chair and vice chair for the 2022. At this time, I will open nominations for the chair position. Is that how we do that?
I'll nominate Mr. Mello and Ms. Lindler to remain in the chair as they are.
I will decline that nomination. It's time to pass the gavel. Thank you, sir.
No.
I'll nominate Ms. Lindler for chair.
I'll second.
We have a motion or a second. Any further? I will close those and we will take the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Good. At this time, we will nominate the position of vice chair. I will nominate Mr. Fowle. Commissioner Fowle?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further nominations? At this time, I will close it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Congratulations.
Are you retired?
No, sir. Not until you do.
Well, that's very short.
All right. We're doing this again. Here we go.
I'm going to war. The attorney said.
We'll talk after.
All right, we've got the minutes of the meeting of November 17th, 2021, and also December 15th, 2021. Everybody's had a chance to look at them. No corrections, additions, modifications. I'll entertain a motion to pass.
And the chair, there's no quorum today for the December minutes since Danielle's gone. Because it was just you, Dusty, and Danielle last month.
That's two of three.
I couldn't quite hear them.
Oh, all three of us do have to be here. You're right. Okay, so we can't do December again, but we can do November.
I'll move we pass November minutes.
Okay, then move to approve November 17 minutes. Is there a second?
So moved.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Passes. Okay, unscheduled appearances. Anyone here to address the commission on items that are not on the agenda?
Through the chair?
Yes.
If you're calling into this meeting and you would like to speak on any item not on the agenda, please raise your hand. If you're calling out on a phone, please press *9 to do so. Seeing none.
Any conflicts to declare today? None. All documents presented to the Planning Commission, 12 copies. Public records related to an open session item on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body, will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street. Our public hearing protocol is listed in the agenda. And our right of appeal statement, projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If challenging the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to the Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Any changes to the agenda or consideration of agenda items to be continued? Yes?
No items to be continued.
Oh, well, you're...
I'm so sorry.
This means yes to me. Okay, all right. So this for you is actually this. Gotcha. Yeah. All right, here we go. Old business, we have none. New business, agenda one. Purvis, zone change, Z-21-07 and use permit UP-22-01, categorical exemption. Staff, with Rachel or Bernadette? Rachel.
Rachel Jarab, senior planner. This subject property is located between Mott Airport Road and Interstate 5, and it's a slightly sloped, has limited vegetation, and is currently undeveloped. Surrounding parcels are zoned for rural residential, neighborhood commercial, and light industrial uses. This project was originally a zone change request to light industrial to allow for the use of a contractor's yard on the property. However, the property is within Zone B of the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan, and some uses that are allowed by right within that district are not allowed within Zone B of the Airport Compatibility Plan. So the project was modified to be a zone change to plan development. The development plan allows for light industrial and commercial uses that are compliant with the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan, including contractors' yards. Multi-use plan developments are required to obtain use permits for any and all uses. Because of that, a use permit was added to this project in order to be compliant with county code. The conditional uses that were included in the development plan were analyzed against the Airport Land Use Compatibility Plan's primary compatibility criteria matrix, the noise compatibility criteria table, and the compatibility guidelines for specific land uses to make sure that all the proposed uses were compatible with Zone B. Additionally, since the City of Dunsmuir has tentative future plans for a city groundwater well on an adjacent parcel, the city reviewed the proposed uses for compatibility with that use. This project is consistent with the general plan, and because there is no substantial evidence that the proposed zone change and use permit for the contractor's yard may have a significant effect on the environment, staff is recommending that this project be found exempt with CEQA pursuant to section 1501B3, the common sense exemption, and 15303C for new construction or conversion of small structures. Environmental Health, Caltrans, Cal Fire, and the County Director of Airports all commented on this project. No comments from members of the public have been received at this time. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission conditionally approve the use permit and recommend that the Board of Supervisors determine the project categorically exempt and approve the zone change. Should the Planning Commission agree, the project is required to have an avigation easement recorded and be reviewed by the Siskiyou County Land Use Commission prior to review by the Board of Supervisors. There is a suggested motion in your packet.
Okay, do we here in 1 second. So we have no correspondence from the public at this time that were submitted. Any other departments? We don't have public health here. Any other department comments?
Only the comments that are in the staff report are the ones that we have received at this time.
Okay, so Dusty, you have a question for staff.
In the staff report, you listed bulk storage of hazardous material as a reason for not allowing that within the airport?
Correct.
So is that still in effect?
Correct. So you cannot have bulk storage of hazardous materials in Zone B. So any use that would potentially have bulk storage of hazardous materials was not considered an allowed use in this district. So it's only the uses that are listed within the master development plan that would be permitted within this PD, and they would have to get a use permit in order to be permitted.
So the roofing contractor cannot store roofing material in that warehouse?
It's not considered bulk storage for some items. You would have to have limitations on the quantity. So when we're talking about bulk storage, we're talking about things like gas stations where they have, you know, thousands of gallons of fuel. If you have some, well, I don't even know what they use these days because tar isn't really something that's used anymore.
So this is so that you can monitor the hazardous material that's going to be placed there. Is that the reason?
So it's hazardous material that's considered flammable that's the issue. So as far as I know, roofing contractors don't generally have flammable materials. You know, most roofs these days, especially in our area, are required to be a certain level of fire resistance. So it's not something that the planning department has been...
No, it's fine. It just, to me, composition roofs are flammable material. And I don't understand why changing the zoning reduces the risk of a hazardous material.
And may I add something?
Sure.
There is a use by right in a light industrial zone to store such things as propane and gasoline. And that use by right will not exist in the master plan. Had it been the proposed industrial zone, it would have been a use by right to store propane and gas and things like that. And that would have conflicted with the airport plan.
Okay.
We do have, it looks like, the applicant who is also the owner of the roofing company. If you have roofing-specific questions that you would like to address.
No, I'm fine with it. It just seems to me that changing zoning doesn't reduce the risk.
So contractors' yards are what we're going for here.
Okay.
Contractors' yards are not prohibited in Zone B. There were some other uses in the light industrial district that were prohibited based off of the Zone B criteria. So in order, and just so you guys are aware, there is no zoning district that if you analyze all of the uses, would be allowed in Zone B. Basically, if you have Zone B property, you have to go to a plan development if you're going to be changing the zones. Right now, the use that's there, which is rural residential, it's actually not allowed. It's grandfathered in this case, but if somebody were to want to change from a district to a residential district, you would not be allowed to on this property because it doesn't meet the minimum size criteria. So this property is a little bit interesting just because in order to meet all of Zone B, there is no zoning district that works. You have to go to a plan development in order to put specific uses in that are compliant with Zone B.
So this is an interesting situation because Zone B around the Scott Valley Airport is surrounded by three ranches.
Right, so they're probably agriculturally zoned, and when I say that there are no zoning districts,
agriculturally zoned.
So the reason, if somebody wanted to have, if it was, you know, magically zoned something else, and they wanted to rezone it to ag, that use would not be an allowed use because the ag district allows for houses. So there is a size limitation associated with that. So if you had at least 5 acres, you would have to have 5 acres for every house that you wanted to put on this property. But this particular property has just a little bit over 2 acres, so you cannot put a house on this property if you were to rezone. Right now, it's already zoned RR, so it's grandfathered in, you can put a house in there. But
I was thinking more of the storage of combustibles and flammables.
Yeah.
Because there are 6 2,500 gallon plus gas and diesel tanks within 20 feet of the fence of the Scott Valley Airport, but it's right to farm then, and airport.
A lot of airports have bulk.
That's interesting.
A lot of airports have bulk.
Yeah, through the chair.
Well, the bulk storage at Scott Valley is right next to two others.
By the way, Mott Field came before Montague Airport. It was one of the first airports in Siskiyou County. I just looked at the information.
Through the chair?
Yes.
I don't remember the grading, but when I was in the contracting business, composition shingles were not classified as flammable, i.e. as cedar shakes. And I don't remember what because they will burn, anything will burn if you get it hot enough. But composition shakes were allowed, or shingles were allowed in areas that had a high fire risk where cedar shakes were not. And I'm talking 25, 30 years.
I don't think
ago.
That's the issue that is of concern here. It's the combustible and flammable liquids.
Correct.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so any other questions from commissioners at this time of staff? All right, we'll open the public hearing. Do the project proponents care to add anything?
If you were a project proponent for this particular project and you would like to speak on this item, please raise your hand. If you're calling in, you can press *9 to raise your hand. I'm not seeing anybody with their hand raised at this time.
Any opponents to the project? Not seeing any of those. Any comments in
hold
general?
On.
Neither.
Through the chair, hold on.
Okay.
Battery 80%.
Ms. Marsh, are you trying to speak on this item?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
All right. I really don't have a problem with it, but I do have a few questions. The main one is, this is going to be a contractor's yard. In Siskiyou County, the use permit runs with the land. So although this is a roofing contractor, the next contractor's yard could be something like the eyesore up on I-5 out of Ashland and make a lot of noise and other things that might not be wanted in the neighborhood. The other question is, I have a brother-in-law that was a roofer, and they used a lot of tar. So tar is flammable, so the question should be answered whether tar is going to be stored at this contractor's yard. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Any other opponents wishing to speak?
Seeing none.
Okay. Any comments neither for nor against but related to the project?
Am I allowed to respond to the...
Okay, now we'll come to the project proponent for rebuttal. Please come up to the mic, state your name, your address. Address will not be included in the minutes, and then speak your piece, please.
My name is Jonathan Purvis. I'm the owner of the property there on Mott Road. Doesn't have an address of the property, but so my thing about the tar is so asphalt shingles by nature is the main thing that I probably store there a little bit. Those are Class A fire-rated material. They start off as a fiberglass base mat, and the asphalt's embedded in the ground to protect them. I don't store like a ton of material these days. Most of the time you order per job, it shows up, it goes right back out to the job. As far as the large bags of tar that you're probably referring to would be old school hot mop, which is not really a common practice anymore. Nowadays we use a lot of PVC and thermoplastic roofing for flat roof membranes. So large quantities of tar are really not a thing. The only, you know, as far as the fuel storage goes maybe, which I'm not sure on the question of that, is like if I had a monitor heater or something like that inside the shop. I don't know if that would be, you know, usually 100 gallons, but otherwise, that's about it. We're just roofing contractor's yard, and that's about it. Local business.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing.
I had maybe one thing to add to that.
This is Ms. Purvis, is that correct?
Yes, I'm Dawn's wife, Mary Ann, also
go ahead.
Property. I just had a quick thing to add from my standpoint. We have liability insurance and workers' comp. Our liability actually does not allow the hot mop application. I think it's like less than 1% is allowed or something for our liability carrier. So it's definitely not a regular practice to store or even install any of that kind of material anymore. Just wanted to add that in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close the public portion and move this to discussion with the commission. I do have a couple questions, but I'll, Commissioner Hart. Commissioner Mello?
None.
Commissioner Beal? Okay, I guess it's just me. So this may be a question directed towards council. This is a unique situation for a unique parcel. That being said, we are looking at issuing first a zone change, then a use permit to allow a use on the parcel once the zoning has been changed. Would it be appropriate in this situation, since it is airport, a B zone, that the use permit would be valid for this type of business and this type of business only? In other words, should Purvis's sell the property to someone else who is not a roofing contractor that is bringing in some other type of contracting business that is not roofing, that use permit would be null and void and the new owner would come in order for the county to make sure that I's are dotted and T's are crossed with compatibility for the location that it's in to the airport?
In theory, in general, I don't see why condition couldn't be written, and there's good reason to do that, to describe more specifically the type of business within the contractor's yard that is allowed.
I ask because, within the use permit, there are going to be limitations already set, which would apply to any future business. They would have to abide by those limitations.
But you would like to, you're exploring the additional limitation of leaving.
The question is it necessary because of the location to the airport and this unique situation?
That's something of a judgment call. It can be done that you could be more restrictive, for good reason in describing the type of business that's attached to this conditional use permit. If there's a concern about some other type of business or contractor's yard moving in under the contractor's yard use permit, either a condition could be added prohibiting or limiting that other type of activity, or you could do it the other way, is I'm not exactly sure how you would write it, but limit it to roofing contractors only. And I think so long as there's good reason, I don't see why it couldn't be done. I'm just not sure how I would draft it more narrowly, at least maybe off the top of my head.
I don't know if it makes a difference, but Mott Field is a very seldom used airstrip.
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
Condition of approval number one states that the project shall substantially conform to the project description. The project description in this case is a use permit for a proposed roofing contractor's yard. Within the plan development, the master plan, the conditional uses permitted, item G, it under contractor's yard, it allows for off-site construction, maintenance services, and contractor's yard, including building, electrical, plumbing, heating, roofing, painting, landscaping, excavation, janitorial and similar services, but excluding septic tank pumping, fumigation, and other similar services. Additionally, if there is a proposed use, we have a compliance review procedure within the master plan, the master development plan, which is item six. And there is a review process by which a new use can be proposed to the planning director, and the planning director would decide what process that use would need to follow, if the existing use permit would be compliant or if a new use permit would be required.
Giving me the answer I was looking for, no need to move forward on that. Any other questions?
No, sir.
Entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt Resolution PC 2021-032, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, conditionally approving the Purvis Use Permit UP-22-01 and recommending that the County Board of Supervisors determine the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act and approve the Purvis Zone Change Z-21-07 by adopting a draft ordinance rezoning 2.1 acres APN 037-410-230 from RR to PD.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Beal, any further discussion on the main motion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Roll call.
Oh, that's right. We got to do roll call on the zone change first.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Fowle?
Yes. Okay, now do we need to have a voice vote on the use permit separately, correct? Since they are two different types of votes?
Veal?
Or no. Will the roll call suffice for both?
The roll call will suffice for both, okay. Because it's a single resolution. Okay.
Motion passes. So we will now move on. New business item number two, which is the Meyer use permit UP-2128. And it looks like Bernadette is ready to roll. The floor is yours.
Thank you. This is Assistant Planner Bernadette Sisson. I'm presenting this project on behalf of Shelley Gray, Assistant Planner. She cannot be here today. Andrew and Raymond Meyer are requesting a use permit approval to allow short-term rental use of their existing single-family dwelling. The property is located at 19125 Second Avenue, approximately 1.9 miles northeast of the city of Weed, within the city's sphere of influence in the census-designated place of Carrick. It is approximately a 0.95-acre parcel that is developed with a primary and secondary dwelling. The primary dwelling is proposed as the short-term vacation rental that is approximately a 1,220-square-foot dwelling with two bedrooms. The property is within the Rural Residential Agricultural Zoning District, which allows short-term rentals upon issuance of a use permit. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area. The dwelling has been inspected by the Building Division and Environmental Health Division. Two bedrooms and a living room are to be used as sleeping quarters within the proposed short-term vacation rental. Based on the capacity of the existing septic system, Environmental Health has determined that a maximum of 4 guests could be accommodated at any one time. 3 parking spaces are required for this proposed vacation rental. Adequate parking spaces are available on the west side of the residence. This project is proposed to be exempt from CEQA per section 15301, as it is an existing facility and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. Environmental Health, the Building Division, and CAL FIRE commented on the project regarding their requirements. Staff recommends determining the project categorically exempt and approving the use permit for this project. There is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Okay. And we have not received any further communication from public at large on this project that are not in the packet.
There is none.
Okay. No additional county agencies to partake in the discussion. So, commissioners, any questions at this time for staff? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Would the proponents care to add anything to the staff report?
If you would like to comment on this item, please raise your hand or press star 9 to do so.
As a proponent. Okay.
Seeing none.
Anyone wishing to speak in opposition to the project? Seeing none, Any comments in general? Neither for nor against. Seeing none, since there were no comments, neither either for nor against, no need for rebuttal, we will close the public hearing and take it to the commission. I'll entertain a motion then.
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2022-001, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving the Meyer use permit UP-21-28 and determining the project exempt from CEQA.
Is there a second?
So move.
Any further discussion on the main motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Motion passes. Items for discussion direction, miscellaneous, future meetings. Next regular meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, February 16th. Correspondence. Staff comments. Commission comments. Floor is yours, Commissioner Hart.
Yeah. A couple months ago, we had a project before us at a Lakeside student for a vacation rental, and we turned it down because of, I guess, the CCNR is within the service district out there. And we've already permitted them, just in lifetime being on the Planning Commission, at least a half a dozen vacation rentals in that subdivision. Do those that we already permitted, even though the CCNRs and the services district don't allow them, are they still valid or not? I know that's their jurisdiction.
Yeah.
But we granted something where maybe we shouldn't have. So does that put those people, I guess, what kind of rights does that give them for? Yeah.
It doesn't give them any special rights versus their homeowners association. Their homeowners association can still tell them they're in violation, and then it's going to be a private civil matter.
Okay.
From the county's perspective, we consider the CCNRs, we're not obligated and shouldn't be obligated to follow them, but we can consider them. So from our perspective, if we granted a CUP for a vacation rental in that subdivision, then it's legitimate and valid as far as we're concerned, and it's an issue between the HOA and the property after that.
Well, I do think that if the CCNR is prohibited, we ought to take that into consideration for a non-compatibility finding.
Well, it shouldn't even become. Should not even come before us, because when it goes out to the state clearinghouse, and do they send those notifications then out to community services district for them to get involved or not? Because to me, there we're just wasting county taxpayer money having staff even look at it. I guess that's what I'm here. We went, those people who came in and we permitted all that process. That took a pretty good amount of time and money from the staff people to do it.
Turn it back to
them. Through the chair. When we do have vacation rentals, we do look at if they have a property owners association, and we do consider whether or not it meets the CCNRs. I believe you said this was the Lake Chestina community that you were specifically speaking
yes.
to.
Yes.
So we have permitted some vacation rentals in that community, and the Property Owners Association was notified during those the application and during the public hearing for those projects. In some cases, they responded and were against the project, and in some cases, they chose not to respond. Currently, the interaction that we've had with the Homeowners Association there, they have taken a very strong stance against the vacation rentals in the area being permitted in the future. However, the stance that has been taken in the past has not been as strong or even negative at all. Just they have a new group of people there in that homeowners association. And I think that even though they've generally not been happy about it, they haven't been as actively against the short-term rentals in their community until just recently. Does that answer your question?
I'm just looking to save staff time and money.
We notify people. I actually, strangely enough, I just had one of the people who currently has a short-term rental that's permitted in that community, and they wanted to transfer it. They own two houses next to each other. They live in one, and they rent out the other one, and they wanted to flip-flop them. And I told her she needed to talk to the Homeowners Association, because that would be something that she would have to get a brand new use permit for, and she would have to get their buy-off on it, likely based off of what your responses have been in that community recently. So I told her that was her first step, and I encouraged her to not even apply until she has gotten the okay from the Homeowners Association. So it is something that we actively discuss with the people in that community that want to have that use. We make them aware that we do have a code section that makes it so that you guys can take that into consideration as far as whether or not you agree to it or not.
So you have a community services district. Aren't there six or seven different homeowners associations out there?
Yes. I don't know how many there are. There is one main one, and then there are a few outliers, but I've never bothered to count. But on the application, they actually have to put what homeowners association they're in, and we do send them notifications.
I often thought,
just so that it doesn't get lost, and
right,
it goes to one and then they don't distribute it to the other ones and nobody knows what's going
right
on.
Right, they have to put down which homeowners association they're on. It's a line item in the use permit application.
I often thought the community services district and the cloud should be the ones to decide whether there's a homeowners that's permitted or not. They certainly able to decide whether they're a homeowners association, a rental is available for
through the chair.
We don't need to.
No, I'm just looking to yeah. It seems to me a whole yeah. waste of time here.
We've talked about this before, and I don't know. This seems
through the chair. So in the McLeod area, they do not have a homeowners association. They have a community services district.
Yeah. What I was saying, the community services district should be deciding whether there's a home vacation rental.
Maybe so that's not, our code specifically mentions Property Owners Association, Homeowners Association, not Community Services
and
District.
And we could, though, refer to them, right?
So we would have to change the code if that's something that you wanted to have as a requirement.
It doesn't seem that we're getting more vacation rentals from the cloud, but we got more, I'd certainly recommend it.
Right, so I want to make sure you guys remember that we recently had the board approve a moratorium on vacation rentals that were less than 2.5 acres. The majority of the properties in the McLeod area are significantly smaller than that, and yeah. therefore they are no longer eligible for approval.
That's the reason.
So we did that countywide? I thought we did that just in Mount Shasta.
That's countywide.
The second issue I want to tackle here is a subject that came up in the first project proposal, and it's not an issue yet, but it's going to be an issue. The city of Dunmere owns a lot for a potential future well. I don't know how the county could have addressed and handled that. We already have one legal case where the community services district, I'm not going to name it, were sued about taking water off of a parcel and delivering it someplace else and being used on another parcel. And so that pump got shut off. We just had an irrigation district just get shut off this summer for the very same issue. And as I understand water law, if you're pumping water out of the ground, you have to use that water on that parcel. You cannot transfer it off of that person. So,
unless you get a use permit.
What?
Unless you have a use permit.
But I don't even know that you can do that.
We've approved two in the last 20 years.
It's all going to come back around because of where this fish and water issue and state water works. So just to be aware.
There was that guy in Dunmere that wanted use permit to the transport board, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was turned down?
Yeah. That was where he wanted Bogwood to sell it.
Yeah, that was on the opposite side of the road from where the water source is.
But this is a whole different deal where, and so if you're gonna hold the agricultural community to that standard, everybody has to help that standard.
So what do you do about the...
That's what I'm looking for from the state agencies, because they're not...
What do you do about these water tenders that are out there?
That's what I want, though, absolutely. But nothing's being done. They're going full bore out of their business right now.
Right now?
Right now. Yesterday morning at 7:30, Ace Hubbard Hardware went past my house, two great big semis loaded with potting material going that way.
Tulips.
Huh?
Tulips.
They haven't slowed down. They're expanding. It's amazing.
Any other comments from the commission?
No.